So is this just a microphone?
It's just a microphone.
Okay, got it.
You will not be seen.
Okay.
So, this is Anne Birchbough for the You Now and Then project on August
13th,
2019. I am Anne Birchbough, and I am the interviewer.
Hi, I'm Barbara Slomey. I'm sitting with Anne.
And here we are.
Right.
So, what brought you to Princeton in the first place?
Good question. I came to Princeton because my ex-spouse was a graduate student at the university. I actually grew up in North Jersey, but thought I had never been to Princeton until I came back with the ex-spouse and a newborn baby. But it actually turns out that the building that you now was in used to be Princeton Country Day School.
And I just learned that yesterday myself.
Yeah, and I went to a girls' school, what was then a girls' school in Englewood, New Jersey, which is now Dwight Englewood. I went to Dwight School and was on a number of sports teams. And we actually played Miss Hines, which was the girls' equivalent, which is now part of PDS. But for some reason, I realized we came, the Dwight team that I was on, and I don't remember which sport it was, we came to Princeton to play Miss Hines, and we actually went to the Princeton Country Day building. So it was just...
So when you came back later to look at it, I think I've been here before.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not even sure, but I think that happened. I mean, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I've been here before, but through talking and finding out it was Princeton Country Day and things like that, I was like, oh yeah, I was here once.
So what year did you come?
Okay, so we came... As my older boy, I have three children, all of whom went to you now. My older boy was born in 73, so that was the year we came.
Okay, and so he's
46.
And how old are your two others? Because you
obviously right. So
married again.
Right. So the middle guy was born in 81. And my daughter was born in, my middle guy was born in 78, and my daughter was born in 81.
My daughter was born in 81 also.
Oh, well, there you go.
So we were looking for child care around the same
time. Right.
And so... You Now was found. Okay, so You Now was founded in 1970, and when did, so your youngest went, when he was how old?
My oldest.
Your oldest.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about this. I don't remember the exact year that he went, but I know he actually, before he went to You Now, he went to Crossroads,
mm-hmm.
which was a daycare place at the Institute for Advanced Study. And that was his first formal daycare situation. So, and I do remember, I actually have a picture of him being potty trained. So they actually took kids. I bet he was about two mm-hmm. when he went to Crossroads. And so maybe when he was three, he went to You Now, which would have been 76, 77.
And I don't know if you now took babies.
They didn't. They definitely didn't take babies. And okay. I can remember that you had to be potty trained,
right,
to be accepted.
So it was essentially a nursery school. More.
Exactly. Okay. Right. Right.
Interesting. And were you aware of the fact that the National Organization for Women had a part in the founding?
Well, yeah, because of the name.
Because of the name.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure that I ever thought very much about that connection. I mean, I liked the philosophy, but because it was U for university, right. Now for the National Organization of Women, it was obvious that there was a connection.
I mean, I'm not supposed to talk too much, but I remember I lived in Massachusetts, and daycare for little ones was almost non-existent.
Right.
Everyone had to find a babysitter.
Absolutely. And for little, like we just said, they even you now didn't take, I think two was the youngest they took, and they had to be potty trained. So babies were not there during any of the time that my kids were there.
Also all three of them?
I believe so. Even with Amanda, who was born in 81, I think they still weren't taking babies. But what was unique about UNOW was that they, I think even back then, they were open like from 8 to 6. And, you know, any other daycare places in the same building was University League.
Right.
And that was like a half-day co-op program. So for people who worked, UNOW was like really the only place that could cover that many hours of child care.
Right, which was unusual at that time. You had to sort of fill and where I lived, it was almost non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
And there were battles about, you know, is this good for children? I often thought that it was good for children if it was good for their mothers.
Oh, exactly. Yep, I agree.
And so you basically picked UNOW because it did have the full day care.
Right, and
did anybody else in town? Mm-hmm. Did anyone else go till 6?
No. Not that I was aware of.
And even though you had been in that building when you were younger, what was your impression of it as a place to send your kids back then?
I didn't know what child care places, if there was a model for them to look like, it seemed fine. You know, UNOW didn't have the whole building. They shared it with the University League, and maybe, I don't know what was upstairs, like on the second floor. So, I mean, I would always drive in and go in the side door, which then at some point became like where the computer center was or is. But I rarely went in the main door. It was mostly where the driveway is.
Right.
And go in that door. Yeah.
And I think that was true until they finally moved across the way.
But I think the offices, the few times that I would go actually to, like, where Connie, who was the head, or I don't even know what her official title was, that if you went in up the stairs and it went in that door, I think that's where the offices mm-hmm. were.
And that's where they remained
until
2 years ago.
Right.
Nobody quite knows what's going to happen to the building at this point. But I was intrigued that it was Prince and Country Day School, because it looks like it was an old, to me it looked like, I assumed it must have been an old public school building, but no.
Well, maybe it was before that, but I think Prince and Country Day, I'm sure, was around for a long time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And what do you remember about the classrooms and sort of the organization, and what did your kids like?
I remember the playground more than the actual classroom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the classroom was fine, you know, and the kids seemed comfortable in it. The playground, and maybe that's because even after my kids were out of there, I would walk that way if I was taking a walk or walking my dog. So I saw the playground more over time. And the playground just had like really good structures, and one thing I liked was that the staff would try to take the kids outside as much as possible, mm-hmm. and you know, even in the winter or in the summer or whatever. Yeah. So I guess I was more aware of the outside facilities than the classrooms. I guess the good news is that I don't remember anything bad about the classrooms.
Right. It's like if your kids are happy, then everything must be fine. I know that feeling.
Well, yeah. I think what you said, you know, the fact that they stayed open for that many hours, it was kind of controversial whether to leave your kids there, and you know, and some people who didn't think it was a good time would sort of, you know, make comments like, "Oh, the poor kids, they have to stay that long." And I, on many occasions with all three of my kids, you know, I'd sort of rush in at 5 to 6 and be feeling sort of guilty, and be greeted by, "Oh, you're here?" You know, like, "Oh, you mean I have to go home now?" So they obviously enjoyed it. And
that's sort of how you can tell.
Yeah. I don't think I ever got a phone call saying, "Oh, so and so is, you know, unhappy and they want to go home." So,
well, then that's really all you hope for when you're having kids taken care of by anybody.
Exactly.
I think. Did the teachers have routines for keeping in touch with parents back then?
Yeah, in fact, I did find a couple of documents. They wrote reports, and if I looked at the paper, maybe it would be clear. At least, I don't know if it was quarterly, but it was certainly once a year, and maybe twice a year, and maybe more.
And did you go in for parent conferences? Like you didn't?
Yeah, probably. I just don't remember.
Your kids must have gone to Riverside.
No, because we actually, by then, we lived in West Windsor.
Okay.
So none of my kids went. So my kids went to public school in West Windsor and then went to PBS as they got older. So they never went to elementary school in Princeton.
So you look back on Southern Way.
Now I do, yeah. I mean, in the very first years, I actually lived at Butler, which has been torn down. So it's kind of weird that now, you know, I'm one block away from, you know, where I lived.
Well, you started.
Decades earlier, yeah.
And one of the things we're interested in doing is actually talking to kids.
I suggested that.
Are your kids around here?
Yeah. Two of them are, and one guy's in New York. So, although Caroline,
who you spoke with. Yeah.
I mean, I mentioned that because my kids are local, and she thought that kids wouldn't really remember much, but I think it's really worth talking to them.
Oh no, I think my daughter is Caroline, and she would remember every minute of preschool.
Yeah,
and does. Her own kids are now sort of going through.
Right.
Well, no, I think the kids' memories would be very interesting because you weren't there.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they were, you know, in good hands and.
Mm-hmm.
You can relax.
That's
my own memory of dropping her off.
Right.
Now, there's one question here, which I'm not sure. The question is, do you remember being politically engaged yourself at that time? Because this was sort of the early days of the women's movement, and you know, I have sort of memories of that time, but
yeah, I mean, as it relates to you now,
or just sort of women working at the time, and be, you know, because that was really sort of the beginning of women going to work full time and
right.
going to graduate school more, you know, in more fields and so on.
Right. I guess the answer is yes. I mean, one thing that I remember and appreciated at UNOW is they seem to make a point of stressing like gender-free environment and yeah, you know, and that and I do remember that like the equipment or the supplies that they had were gender-free. Although, I mean, I think, and what not just gender-free, or not gender-assigned, but also, like, non-violent things, you know, and they definitely wouldn't allow pretend guns, or, like, I guess, I don't even know, like, military figurines or things like that. But I do have to say that boy, and I think it was pretty much boys, that they could make anything into a gun.
Bang.
Yeah. a finger, or a stick, or anything. And, you know, I'm not sure whether the girls did too, but, I mean, I think there is something innate, maybe, in the gender.
I confess to it, I agree with you completely.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it was great, and, if, you know, I'm quite sure that, like, if two little boys were playing guns with sticks or whatever, that the staff would have discouraged them from doing that, but, you know, and I think, you know, most, well, I won't speak for other families, but, you know, my family would not have encouraged right. playing with guns, but nevertheless, the kids pick it up.
It's in the atmosphere.
Right, somehow. Right. So.
Indeed. So I'm going to turn this off right now, and I'd love to look at your pictures and things.
Oh, okay. Sure. I mean, I do remember teachers.
Individual teachers?
Yeah. Like, and especially because many of them were there for a very long time. So because I had three kids
right.
that went there, the same staff was involved. Sometimes the teachers, I think, would go to different levels,
mm-hmm.
age levels, but you know, like out on the playground, the kids, like often everyone was out on the playground at the same time. So, you know, you would see the same teachers and, you know, just names that I'm sure you've, but like Connie for sure. I think it's possible when my older boy went, maybe Connie was a teacher. Maybe she wasn't the head of the school, in which case I don't remember that. Head of school, but then like Connie and Betty, who's still there, I think.
Well, I believe not, but just very recently retired.
Huh.
And she's a source of all kinds of
information. Yeah, oh, I'm sure. Connie and Betty and Rhoda was someone I remember. And it seemed like there were some older people who were working there as well as younger people. That was nice. Oh, and there was, and I talked to Carolyn about this. There was a young man, Ron, who was one of the teachers, which was very unusual to have I think it still is unusual.
Still unusual.
But, so that was pretty cool to have a young man who, as one of the teachers.
I know, but we always wish that more young men would do this. It's more fraught nowadays, of course, but there are,
yeah.
We still run into, I've worked with a male kindergarten teacher, but generally the male teachers are more likely to pop up in sixth grade and then beyond, but it's certainly would be nice if the
right.
faculties were more diverse and longer
right.
in all different kinds of ways.
Right, I can actually remember in my own experience, I went to public school for elementary school, and I think it was in fourth grade that I had a man teacher, and that was like the very first time. And you know, I just remember.
I had number six. He was the only male teacher in the school at the time.
Yeah.
And it's still heavily female. Well, certainly early childhood education is heavily female dominated.
Right.
But I think that's unlikely to change. And I assume at that time there was more, because the kids were little, there was more than one adult in the classroom.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I would imagine
there was a head teacher probably and some aides or someone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. And I don't remember how many kids were in each class. It wasn't I bet you have those records somewhere, but it might have been like a dozen or so.
Probably for that age kid.
Yeah.
You know, and usually nowadays, when they're in the baby rooms, there are even more than two.
I know, yeah, and that's all by law.
The baby room,
it?
Yeah, it's all by law, and the baby rooms have eight.
Mm-hmm.
And I had taught older kids myself, so I have great awe for people who can take care of babies all day long.
Oh my gosh, yeah, yeah.
But it's fun to go watch them. You know, in that setting.
Well, I did once go over about a year ago, maybe now. I went to the new building and introduced myself, but it was like nap time or something, so I couldn't really. I wasn't
sleeping.
And not even just the babies, but everyone was like, and so I wasn't really invited to take a tour or anything. But I'd like to do
that.
You should
have to come in the morning.
Yeah.
No, it's it's the transition to the new building went remarkably smoothly.
Mm.
There was all this anxiety on the part of everybody.
Sure.
And also the fact that they went from about, 80 children to ultimately 180.
Whoa.
And so they're about at 140-ish
next year
because there's such a demand in the university community and in town.
Mm-hmm.
Though probably most people do have university affiliations of some kind, but they certainly... they welcome people from the community.
No, I know. I talked to my daughter when she lived in Brooklyn, but she moved out here a couple of years ago now and has three little guys under five and under. And, she was looking for childcare. And, of course, she and I thought about you now and she looked into it. But, it's very expensive and she's a teacher, an elementary school teacher. She wasn't ready to go back to school full time, and so she didn't really need the full day coverage.
Right.
And so I think it would have been cool, and I kind of wished she had, been it, but because of the cost and the fact that she didn't need that much care.
She has three kids. And she has three children.
True. Brian.
So she lives close enough to Princeton.
She lives in Princeton. Yeah.
So where did she send them?
So the first, her firstborn is just five, and he's about to start at Littlebrook. He went to Princeton Junior School, which I know it didn't exist back in the day, and I didn't even know very much about it, but because I sometimes take him there and I've been to programs, they have a very nice environment
there.
And actually my daughter is working there
part-time. Is she working there?
Yeah, but she's working as the librarian, which is a part-time job. And when I heard that that's what she was going to do, my vision of being a librarian as someone sitting in a room with books. Well, that's totally outdated.
That's done in elementary schools.
And so she's really doing
action in the library.
Oh yeah, and she's also, you know, has a lot to do with the classroom teachers. Mm-hmm. So it's good. But so anyway, so the older guy is going to kindergarten starting in a couple of weeks. But her next one, who's going to be 2 on Friday, is going to go to Princeton Junior School.
So they have 2-year-olds. I didn't realize that they they had such little ones. I thought they started at 3.
No. I think they call it a 2-3 class.
Right.
Because I think Noah started at 3. I can't remember. But my daughter just had a baby 10 days ago, so she now
has her hands full.
Well, she does. And so because I'm local, it's, you know, I do a lot of child care, which is fine, you know, but I'm still working, so it's a big, I have 2 jobs. I have
right. Are you working full time?
I'm working 4 days a week.
Yeah, that's
and but when I'm not working, I'm babysitting, so I'm doing. Yeah, but it's all good. But that's actually one thing I'm sure you know. But when my older guy went, you now had a kindergarten class.
Did they?
Yeah. So they started at 2 or 3 but years old, but they went through kindergarten.
I wonder if New Jersey had mandatory kindergarten back then. It's possible they didn't, because Pennsylvania still does it, which is, you know, mind-boggling, I think.
What do you mean? The
kids are expected to enroll in school for kindergarten, and in parts of I think it varies now from town to town, but some towns don't offer public kindergarten, and some only offer half-day programs.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that's incredible in this day and age that is true.
Yeah.
I mean, New Jersey, here Princeton has full-day kindergarten, which is now much more of the norm.
But what is full-day?
Full-day feels like to like
3.
3.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Not full-day.
Right.
But, and then they have after school.
Right. And so this was what happened with me and you now, that, you know, I really appreciated having the 8 to 6 time frame. And I would have friends whose kids were other places, and they were like, oh, they couldn't wait till their kids got into public school to get more child care.
Right.
And actually, for me, it was much worse because, you know, public school ended at 3. Or, I can't remember in West Windsor what, if it was a half day or till 3. But anyway, there was that after school, you know, thing. And so a lot of schools did offer that time period, 3 to 5 or 3 to 6, they started to offer that. But it was a lot of scrambling to find care for kids.
Still is to some extent, because of the demand and the supply and the cost.
Exactly.
I mean, you now, one of the things we talk about on the board is how to make you now more affordable for people in the community and for even the staff of the university.
Yeah.
The university sees it as a benefit to faculty, and so we're not quite on the same.
Well, who sets the tuition cost?
The tuition gets set to some extent in comparison with other comparable programs in the area, like Crossroads.
And does that still exist?
Yeah.
Oh,
I actually have a friend who, I know the director, and I have 2 friends who taught there.
Hmm.
And no, it serves the institute the same way it always has.
Yeah.
But they seem to have room for more community kids because the institute fellows come and go in a year.
Right.
And here, if you start with a little one, you want to make the commitment through pre-K, through 4.
So the university doesn't set the tuition?
They don't set the tuition, but they approve or disapprove of it. And they also reserve some spots for faculty they're recruiting. But then if those spots aren't filled, they release them to anybody right. who needs one. And,
right.
and there is a waiting list, and there's when they built the new building, they were somebody was convinced that there was going to be a lot of demand for baby care, so they built quite a few baby rooms, and it turns out this demand for baby care may be halfway through the year. So they have been letting some people enter.
Interesting.
Because you know, with the newborn, you're not quite ready.
What age is the youngest?
3 months.
Wow.
Now,
I'm not sure that I would want to.
No, I think a lot of parents don't. My own daughter started at 6 months, but it was only I worked part time.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching, and my two granddaughters started one almost at a year, and one when she was maybe 7 or 8 months old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all connected with working and maternity leave, and
so many places don't offer paid maternity leaves.
Yeah.
I mean, schools will often give 6 weeks, but that's nothing really.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who's from Germany. Her husband is a postdoc here, and she's I know him better, but she's, I think, either a psychologist or a psychiatrist in Germany. She has 3 years.
I know. My son-in-law is German.
Oh, there you go.
And they're all, this is why the job over there is here, because they're in Germany. I mean, the benefits from both mothers and fathers.
Yeah.
In most Western European countries are comparable to Germany.
Yeah.
So this country is,
as we know,
behind in the lot.
Right. But
anyway.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk to your daughter sometime if she's
here. Yep. She's away this week, but she's here. I mean, she lives in Princeton. She's going to go back to Princeton Junior School in November or October.
So she just had a baby, you said?
Yeah, like
just.
August 2nd.
Okay.
So like today's what, the 13th. So 10 days ago.
10 days ago.
Right. That's her plan.
Well, if she's working part-time, it's
and I think she can take the baby.
In that case, if she can take the baby.
Yeah.
Which she'll decide if that's a blessing or not once she tries it.
No, as you know, when they're tiny,
that's when they're easy, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's the 2-year-old's the one who's like a real challenge. So, anyway.
Anyway.
Well, let me.
Thank you very much.